Welcome to the all-new Changing World Views podcast with Sharon Hughes, broadcast journalism you can trust to bring you the truth regarding the issues of our day and the worldviews behind them, politically, culturally, and religiously. Now, here's Sharon.
Hello, everyone. I'm so glad that you joined me for the launch of our new podcast show. After 20 years on the air, this is the direction we felt led to go. And so I'm very excited about what the future is going to bring. We'll continue always to talk about the issues and the worldviews behind them and those things that are affecting you the most, our listeners. And because our shows are going to be available on numerous online platforms, you'll be able to not just listen to us on the air, but on your phone, on your computer. Well, you know what I'm talking about. That is where we are in today's world. And Changing Worldviews wants to be on the cutting edge of that technology, the good part of this technology, to make our content available to you in whatever form you want to listen. So we're going to launch this podcast in kind of a back to the future theme. And what I mean by that is with everything that is going on today in the news, we could spend an hour on each topic. What's happening in our nation? What's happening in our schools? What's happening in our culture? What's happening in the church today? And believe me, we will cover those areas and more on this podcast. But as always, and if you've been with me for any length of time, you know I am a strong believer in knowing and connecting the dots between history and what's currently going on so that we have a fuller picture or understanding of what's going on right now. Because it is true, as the saying goes, those who forget to remember history are often bound to repeat it. So we're going to look at what someone who was in Hitler's Nazi Germany learned and warned America about over and over again because he saw the same things happening here that he saw happening there. And then we're going to talk about technocracy, what that is, and in terms of how it fits into what has been coined end time events. I'm sure you're staying up on what's going on with AI, which is on one hand fascinating and obviously has potential on many fronts. But as with almost all things, there are dangers and there are those that are at work in the whole AI field, artificial intelligence, that have agendas that are anything but American, that are anything but Christian. And so we're going to be talking about government overreach, a totalitarian state that seems to be increasing in America, who would have ever thought, as well as how America's belief systems are radically changing, including transhumanism, which we have addressed on the show, but it's coming more and more into play and rapidly. So a look back so that we can see what's in the future, or as in the movies, we're going back to the future.
I'm going to read your thoughts.
Let's see now. You come here from a great distance?
Yeah, exactly.
And don't tell me!
Doc,
I'm from the future. I came here in a time machine that you invented.
When I was received by the then executive director of the Holocaust Memorial Centrum in Washington, when I told him that normally when you think of the Nazis and the war, you look to the criminals. But the really responsible people for what is happening or was happening are the appeasers, the bystanders who don't want to risk anything and look in the other direction and let them do what they are doing.
Just for the record, so folks know whether they're going to be able to do anything like this or not, but this is the philosophy. In case, ladies and gentlemen, you happen to be new to the term transhumanism, it means something like, I mean, this is part of it, uploading your brain to a computer, and then eventually they're hoping that we would just discard our body, then achieving immortality by living forever through machines and robots. Well, here's the interesting part. Google's director of engineering, Ray Kurzweil, has been pushing this quote-unquote cult for many years, and just recently he promised that by 2045, humanity would achieve what he calls singularity, where our minds can be uploaded to computers, and therefore in less than a century, according to him.
You know, I believe that it's time to start talking about the practicalities of what apostasy means, because yes, there are some very dangerous, some very dangerous trends in the church today that if let go unchecked, they're going to end very poorly, especially for the church in America. Many churches are adopting kind of a modification known as theistic evolution, and that kind of says that, well, you know, yeah, God did create everything, but he took 8 billion years to do it rather than 7 days, and or 6 days plus one to rest. And, you know, it sounds kind of reasonable on the surface of it, and, you know, some churches are grabbing onto this because, you know, they don't want to lose all the young people in the church. They're getting evolution in school 24-7, so they feel, well, this is a way we can kind of hook them, if you will, and say, well, we're being reasonable here. We'll give them a set.
Okay, we're going to start off with my interview with the late Hilmar von Kamp, author of many books, including the one we're going to talk about on today's show, a man who was a Hitler Youth and became a Christian and spent the rest of his life trying to warn of the dangers of totalitarian government. I think it'll become clear why it's so important for the current day that we are living in. Here it is. Hilmar von Kamp, his latest book, Defeating the Totalitarian Lie, A Former Hitler Youth Warns America. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about Hilmar, the founder of the Institute for Truth and Freedom. He's lived through years of Nazi power and brainwashing in Germany as a former member of Hitler's youth and as a soldier in the German army under Hitler. He's traveled the world investigating political and social conditions. The author of several books, including Defeating the Totalitarian Lie, A Former Hitler Youth Warns America, and I'm honored to be on his board. Hilmar, welcome to Changing Worldviews.
Well, thank you very much, Sharon.
As somebody who grew up under the Nazis and served as a Hitler Youth, you say that you lived the Nazi nightmare. So just a broad overview, what would you like to tell us about that nightmare?
Well, I had to face, when I came back out of the war, the fact of the Holocaust and of the atrocities of a German government, and I couldn't figure out what had that to do with me. And it took me a long time to define a totalitarian system. That is what the Hitler era was, with twisting the truth and twisting the lives of people. And I came to the conclusion, A, that the National Socialist philosophy was built on lies. It was built on the lie that there is no God, the lie that some people are better than others, the lie that human life only is good for those who are strong. And together with lack of care for your fellow men, they became the big murderers of the Holocaust. And of, in total, about 50 million people were killed during World War II. And I realized, however, that I was not a Nazi. My parents were against the Nazis, and their main preoccupation was that we children would be brainwashed and led into the wrong direction. So they were battling to save our souls. And I said this when I was received by the then executive director of the Holocaust Memorial Centrum in Washington, when I told him that normally when you think of the Nazis and the war, you look to the criminals. But the really responsible people for what is happening or was happening are the appeasers, the bystanders who don't want to risk anything and look in the other direction and let them do what they are doing. And I was one of those bystanders because I didn't dare to let what I thought to let that be known. And that has given me an enormous angle for everything what happens today in the world. And I can connect that to everything what happens in the United States right now.
Yes. You've written several books. This is not your first book, but you have written in the current book that you're writing as part of my life restitution for the crimes of a godless government, of the evil of which I was a part. Now, I know that you are very passionate about this, that this is what you have given your life to get the truth out and to get understanding coming out of the worldviews and the dynamics behind how something such as a Hitler's Germany could come into existence and the atrocities happen. What is your main concern today about why you are still so passionate about getting this truth out?
Well, the United States is the only power in the world which could safeguard freedom, our way of life, a free society, and that our children and grandchildren live in a free world and not in a totalitarian world where you have some gangsters at the top who direct things according to their own interests. And so I would say the United States has many enemies, enemies within, I call them, and the enemies outside. Take the terrorists, the Islamic terrorists, as one outside enemy. But in my book, I also describe that the Islamic terrorist war on us is a proxy war. A proxy war means that they are lead the war for somebody else, and this somebody else at this point is the Soviet Union, which still exists. The Soviet leaders have only changed their label, but they are still the same communists, and our leadership doesn't know what they are up against. That is the biggest thing. Answering your question, the biggest concern of mine, that the ignorance of our leadership leads us into slavery.
That ignorance comes from either not knowing history, not believing history, not learning from history, and that's why your life, not just your books, but your life, because you experienced these things, you came through it, and you see what you were a part of for what it is, how valuable that is. And I just think that the American people need to hear stories such as yours to wake up, because we're lulled to sleep in many areas. Do you agree?
I do agree, yes. And that is also the case for our inside ideological battling, because it is not the political parties which are having two different opinions on matters. It is the same picture in many, and I would say even in the most Western nations, that you have a split in the middle for those who want to live according and with our constitution, which is the best constitution which ever any nation has produced, which should be an example for all constitutions, for all nations, because it's directed at the freedom and the rights of the people of one nation.
And ladies and gentlemen, Hilmar says that when a nation throws God out of government and society and Christians become religious bystanders, this is actually the condition that was in place before Hitler came into power, which allowed Hitler to come into power. I mean, I want Hilmar to tell us the parallels that he sees occurring in our own nation today when we get back from this break.
You're listening to Sharon Hughes, a conservative Christian talk show host in California. You bet.
My name is Marcia. I'm from Long Beach, California. I heard about Aloe Apex and I was interested because I had had a problem with my leaky gut, migraines, and chronic arthritis in my lower back for many, many, many years. And I had tried everything, just like everybody always says, and nothing helped. And I tried Aloe Apex thinking about my leaky gut issues only, but to my surprise, I started to notice that the nagging, aching, pulling pain that was in my lower back had really lightened up considerably. I hadn't realized at the time that it could actually help my arthritis, but I started noticing that, and my joints and my legs and my knees feel so much better, and I can actually walk straight again. Thank you so much. I finally found something that works, and I am so very grateful to Apex Health.
And Apex Health has offered our listeners a special. If you go to apexhealth.live/Sharon, you can order your first bottle or bottles of Aloe Apex at a special introductory price of $29.95 each. That's a $10 saving off the regular price. Just click on order now and use the promo code Sharon Special, or call 833-334-5433. Again, 833-334-5433.
This station would never air a word like, but if I had really said, you'd probably want to call in and make your voice heard. Think about that, making a difference over one little word. If that's the case, what's keeping you from becoming a voice for the pre-born? Surely their plight is more important compared to a word. So if you're ready to make your voice heard, visit beavoice.net and get involved. After all, it's not that first beep we're concerned about. It's this one.
Here's more with your host, Sharon Hughes, bringing you the best on faith, family, and freedom.
Thank you, everyone, for staying with us. My guest today, Hilmar von Kamp, friend, freedom fighter, author of Defeating the Totalitarian Lie, A Former Hitler Youth Warns America. Hilmar, you wrote in your book that when a nation throws God out of government and society and Christians become religious bystanders, as happened in Germany, tell our listeners exactly what happened. What was the church doing when Hitler was performing the atrocities of the Holocaust, and why were they bystanders?
It was not the Holocaust. The Holocaust came at the end. It started with the discrimination of the Jews, and they were bit by bit deprived and all their rights, including at the end they were thrown out of a citizen status. And what is even more worse than this simple fact is that among those who were treated this way were quite a number of officers and soldiers of World War I who had fought on the German side, and this was a thank you of the German nation. It is really very bad. And the Holocaust was widely unknown. I had not a clue about what was happening. But everybody, including myself, we know about the treatment of the unjust and cruel treatment of the Jews. I saw they were herded into trucks, driven away. And we were told that they went to work in certain places, but this would have been as cruel as killing them right away. But I had 2 years of confirmation lessons in my church, in the church of my parents, and I do not remember that the pastors ever raised the question of the treatment of the Jews.
Wow.
So to answer your question now precisely, all Germans knew that there was injustice being committed. There was no outcry from the churches, but there was an outcry of individual people. Not that there were no people who fought. There were quite a number of people who fought, like Bonhoeffer or the Count of Galen or even the Pope, who fought in their ways for justice, but the majority and the official organizations did not. That's why I feel if I take on the fight which I have for the last 20, 30 years is in restitution for crimes where every German of that time has a role to play, and I'm very proud that among those people on my friends who are on the book is a survivor of the Holocaust. He was in the Nazi concentration camps, and he is now my friend, and I have various friends who were Holocaust survivors. So.
Well, how I see one of the most important things of what you are writing about and your story, the stark reality of the things that can happen, such as seeing the injustices that are occurring, not knowing what's really going on behind the scenes in terms of the destruction and the treatment of the Jews, that coupled with, except for some individuals, as you said, pretty much the population remaining silent. Now, we've got a similar situation today with Iran's continually calls for Israel to be wiped off the map. It's being reported in the news, and yet we've got a mentality that, you know, you can sit down and have conversations with leaders and try to talk our way out of these situations. Do you think anyone would have been able to talk Hitler out of his agenda?
No. I know people, Christians, Americans, who tried to change Hitler, really. And that was, of course, completely... that is the same if you would try to make a Christian out of Putin or a group of gangsters who rule in Soviet Russia. And so...
Hitler himself said that he was a Christian. I mean, he actually said by fighting against the Jews, he's doing the will of God. So there was all that rhetoric out there, and people believed him. And I heard stories where people would go and be in his presence and think that he was a good guy. And there's people that are saying the same thing about some of the other, you know, like Hamas and so forth. And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't get it.
Well, if you look at us, when we went to church on Sunday, my parents and we 4 children, that was during the war. Then we had, not every Sunday, but we had Gestapo agents in front of the church who took down the names of those who went in. Now, my father was a public servant of the government. He was a supervisor of a county. They are elected in Germany. They were appointed by the state. But we went, continue to go to church. But we were told by the Nazis that we can sing and pray in our churches, in our homes, as much as we want. But in society, the rule, the Nazi, the National Socialist Party, rules alone. In other words, they threw out god of their government. The Nazi government was a godless government, and the consequences were 50 million dead, our family destroyed, we are refugees, we were thrown out where we lived. And coming here to America, I see that the ACLU has been all the same purpose as the Nazi had, to get God out of society, and they are very successful in doing it. And the only difference between the Nazis and them is that they don't speak about the National Socialist movement, but they speak about their freedom of the individual. And they are lying, of course.
Well,
so there is a link.
A lot of people are concerned about redistribution of wealth mentality, which is clearly socialism. I don't think Americans realize that that is exactly what we've voted into office. And Karl Marx, who's the father of socialism, right? I mean, he said his main purpose in life is to dethrone God and to destroy capitalism. And in Nazi Germany, that was National Socialism as well.
Absolutely. It's the same. The communism, socialism, national socialism, they are all from the same root. And they are godless. We had a government now in Germany, they called the Social Democrats. They refused to have God mentioned in their oaths to government, which was until then, about 10 years ago, was still a part of the European, of the German tradition. And no, the war is against God. I call this, we are in the middle of the insurrection of humanity against God. And it goes, the battle is for the role of God in human society. And America is supposed to be a nation under God. But what you have is, you have a pagan infrastructure against God. There is what they are trying to do. Instead of having God, that means the abandonment of God's commandments in order of organizational kind of matter and fact. And they fill the social franchise with God denying own inventions of morality. And to this morality is abortion, is same-sex marriages, and all of the same, what I call, sins. And Obama says he is a Christian, but I think he does not represent the American history, tradition, and
the majority of Americans.
That's the one side, and the other side is that Hitler had created spots where he put German men, Aryan men and women together to make children for the German army. That's the way it was.
I have seen footage from Nazi Germany where they would bring these. Of course, his whole thing was the Aryan race, the perfect blood, perfect genes, perfect race. He would bring these perfect young women and young men together, get them pregnant, and in this one scene were unbelievable, just little babies, like mass production on this huge table. They would be given to the caretakers, and the women and the guys would go back off into the war. Amazing the kinds of things that went on, including all the eugenics and so forth, but we don't have time to delve into all that. When we get back from this break, ladies and gentlemen, I want to find out more specifics of what he sees the parallels between Nazi Germany, what's taking place in America today, and a little bit more about socialism and America moving in that direction.
You're listening to Changing World Views with Sharon Hughes. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This month's offer is the book Defeating the Totalitarian Lie, a former Hitler youth, the late Hilmar von Kamp, who said, "What I saw in Germany, I see today." Here's some of what you can expect.
We had a government now in Germany, they call it the Social Democrats. Normally, when you think of the Nazis and the war, you look to the criminals. But the really responsible people for what's happening are the appeasers, the bystanders, who don't want to risk anything and look in the other direction.
To order it, just send your check to Changing World Views, P.O. Box 995, Cedar Ridge, California, 95924. Again, for $25. Send your check to Changing World Views, P.O. Box 995, Cedar Ridge, California, 95924. Or order it online at changingworldviews.com. Click on the donation button and then on special offer.
What does it mean to exist? And what is the meaning and purpose of life? Have you ever thought about that?
The Truth Project is a life-changing small group DVD series. The only way to get your hands on this content is by attending the two-day Truth Project training conference coming to a city near you. You can get venue and schedule information at thetruthproject.org.
Participate.
Change.
Leave.
For complete details, go to thetruthproject.org. That's thetruthproject.org.
Thank you, everyone, for continuing with us. Hilmar von Kalm, our friend and author of Defeating the Totalitarian Lie, A Former Hitler Youth Warns America. Hilmar, just so glad that you're with us today to talk about this. There is so much in your book that's valuable, and I really encourage our listeners to get a hold of this book. Why don't you tell us quickly the best way to get this book right now?
Well, the best way, Cheryl, would be via you. Otherwise, it can be gotten in every bookstore. It could be gotten in my website, www.vonkampe.com. You may have to spell von Kampe.
Yes, V-O-N-C-A-M-P-E. And of course, we have links, ladies and gentlemen, at changingworldviews.com. I really encourage everyone to get a copy of this book. Now, Hilmar, you write that political freedom and democratic rules alone are not sufficient to govern humanity justly. What do you mean by that?
Well, very simply, Hitler was elected by popular vote, but he had never the majority. He had about, before the 1933, he had, I think, about 25 or 30% of the votes. I have the numbers here. But then there was a tremendous fear of communism, who were very strong inside Germany. And then there was an enormous amount of economic disaster, so as we have it in America today. Some conservatives made a deal with Hitler, and they thought that they would control Hitler as a shield against the communists. But Hitler became, within half a year, he had everybody ousted, and he was the ruler of Germany. So that was the way it went.
It was a terrible financial situation. I understand people were taking wheelbarrows full of money just to buy a loaf of bread. And the German people, they lost their homes, their jobs, similar to the American Depression of the 30s, only worse. And Hitler was elected into power during those troubling times, promising change. And he, as we talked earlier, he blamed the Zionists around the world for the problems. And he told everyone that it was the greediest Zionist bankers who had caused every problem. And so there are many parallels in our world today that are similar to what was the framework that allowed Hitler to come into power.
There's no question about it. I think with 6 million unemployed, we were a 60 or 70 million people nation, and he had everybody working within a short while. How did he do it? He had a genius finance minister, and they built the Autobahn. I think Autobahn is a word which Americans understand, especially those who were in Germany. Autobahn, it's a highway, and you can drive 150 miles per hour. You still have other cars which overtake you. And that occupied millions of people across the country. There were no unemployed within a short time. Then came the Olympic Games, and that was a huge success for Germany, and Hitler was being considered to be a savior by millions of people. They did not look through him, neither did we. My father was aware of what's going on, not in details, but he knew the spirit that there was, but he couldn't discuss it with us children because that was dangerous, because we might be provoked by the Nazis to tell them what was happening at home. That's what they wanted to know from children. Say things which they don't really know what the consequences are.
Yes, I understand that teachers in German schools taught the children to sing songs in praise of Hitler. And that was the beginning of the Hitler Youth Movement, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was done in the first 3 months, that all youth organizations, any trade unions, were forbidden. They didn't exist anymore. And then the only youth organization was the Hitler Youth, and they said what is up and down.
Well, school children, I mean, I've seen, and I know you're familiar, obviously, with, but there's videos on YouTube that you can actually see where these young children are singing hymns of praise to and of Hitler, or his programs, singing in the schoolrooms and in the play yards. And, you know, they're political hymns, but they were proclaiming change was coming to their homeland, and that the Führer was a leader, quote unquote, that we could trust. You know, so this was all part of the propaganda as well. And it's scary when you see little children being manipulated and used and exploited to promote a candidate or a leader, because they have no discernment. And so you write that a bunch of anti-American socialists, if not to say communists, with an American passport are about to take this nation over from within. Very intriguing. And ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time for part one, and so we're going to have to ask Hillmore that question in part two. You don't want to miss his answer. There is so much in your book that's valuable, and I really encourage our listeners to get a hold of this book. Why don't you tell us quickly the best way to get this book?
Well, the best way, Sharon, would be via you. Otherwise, it can be gotten in every bookstore. It could be gotten in my website, www.vonkampe.com.
Hillmore, thank you again.
Well, thank you for having me, Sharon.
All right. So as we go into the second half of our podcast here, again, a Back to the Future theme, so to speak, of looking back so that we can not just have a glimpse of what the future is, but be able to connect the dots between what we've been talking about over the last 20 years and what has come to pass. Now we're going to talk about technocracy. What is it? And does it have anything to do with the end times? And we'll get into that right after this break.
You're listening to Changing Worldviews with Sharon Hughes. For even more content, go to changingworldviews.com and sign up for our free email newsletter. Sharon will be right back after this.
Modern slaves can be hard to spot. Demand for cheap goods, cheap labor, and cheap sex has created the perfect storm for human trafficking. In the UK, it's estimated there are nearly 13,000 women and men being forced into a life they didn't ask for, with more people being discovered every day. You probably come into contact with them without ever realizing. There can be some telltale signs, though. Sometimes they might be physical. They look uneasy, unkempt, or malnourished, or have untreated injuries. Sometimes the signs can be less obvious. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. So please help us help them. If you suspect slavery is happening, contact the Modern Slavery Line. Or if a victim needs support, call the Salvation Army and play a part to help stamp it out.
From Northern Illinois. I just started taking Alive again about 2.5 months ago, and I can't believe how much difference my joints feel. I feel actually more alive. I don't have pain in my joints. I have more energy. So thank you very much for those products. They are absolutely incredible, and I will be taking them for many, many, many more years.
Just 1 ounce a day of superfruit, 75 plus nutrients in a base of 100% aloe vera. And if you go to Apex Health, apexhealth.life/Sharon, you can order your first bottle or bottles at the special price. Call 833-334-5433. Again, 833-334-5433 using the promo code SharonSpecial.
Here's more with your host, Sharon Hughes, bringing you the best on faith, family, and freedom.
Okay, part two of our new podcast that we're launching with a Back to the Future look, so to speak, at some of the things we said over the last 20 years. This interview was with Patrick Wood talking about things that are happening today as they relate to the end times. Here it is.
My guest, Patrick Wood, who is editor of the August Forecast and Review and the Geostrategic Financial Newsletter, Findings and Forecast. He's also an economist by education. He's a financial expert by trade and an apologist of the biblical and Christian worldview by choice. He also has produced a DVD film, Apostasy in Motion, which addresses transhumanism, technocracy, scientism, and also the Book of Revelation, as we talk about evolution and all of those things that are running rampant in our culture today. Patrick, welcome to Changing Worldviews. So glad to have you with us.
Thank you, Sharon. It's a pleasure to be here with you as well. I have a feeling we're going to have a very stimulating conversation.
I think so, too. I'm really fascinated by these subjects. Now, I have had Tom Horn on the show. We've talked about transhumanism with him and others. But the parts that you bring out as you write about, talk about in your DVD and so forth brings it full circle in some of the areas that we haven't talked about. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I just want to read something from your website in regards to apostasy in motion, just to set up for our listeners. And it relates, you say, to the current and alarming trends in Christianity, to 2 Thessalonians 2:3, quote, "Let no one in any way deceive you, for it," the rapture, "will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction." Other translations call it apostasy, the great rebellion, the falling away. And I know this is something that I've been concerned about. The apostasy or the falling away seems to be happening on several levels in different ways, but all part, I think, of the same plan. Am I right?
Well, you're right. And, you know, theologians have argued what this, what that passage means, what apostasy means in general. And there, you know, for every 5 people, there's probably 10 opinions. But no church wants to admit that they're part of apostasy. of course they would not. Mm-hmm. So, you know, by and large, it's one of those things that, you know, Christians will talk about it, but nobody wants to say, well, gee, that's me, you know, or that, you know, that kind of shines light on my life. So it's kind of an intellectual discussion, you know, not so practical, but, you know, I believe that it's time to start talking about the practicalities of what apostasy means, because, yes, there are some very dangerous, some very dangerous trends in the church today that, if let go unchecked, are going to end very poorly, for especially for the church in America.
Well, and the apostles, the Bible, the New Testament is full of warnings that this time was going to come, and that Jesus himself said that we're supposed to watch and pray when he lines up the things that are going to be taking place in, quote, the end times, which I am someone that believes we're racing like light speed towards. But I want to get into some of the things that you raise in your film, and some of the really, I really appreciate the fact that you have gone into depth in some of the areas and brought it to light currently of what we are dealing with. So I'm going to just take some of the subjects that you address and then put them in the form of a question. So, if theistic evolution has opened the jaws of the trap for this end-time rebellion, then post-human science-based evolution springs the trap, you say. The Darwinist criticism of Genesis was merely the opening volley for a far more damaging and sophisticated attack on the book of Revelation and the vibrant faith of followers of Christ. Okay, tell us what you mean by that.
Well, yeah, well, that's a good one. I think really true. The continuum that started with Darwin to suggest that there was no deity that or intelligent design and creation, that it happened just by pure chance and so on, that's given rise to all kinds of heresies over the years, and most Christians have rejected those things, you know, fairly quickly. But now, many churches are adopting kind of a modification known as theistic evolution, and that kind of says that, well, you know, yeah, God did create everything, but he took 8 billion years to do it rather than 7 days, and there's 6 days plus one to rest. And, you know, it sounds kind of reasonable on the surface of it, and, you know, some churches are grabbing onto this because, you know, they don't want to lose all the young people in the church. They're getting evolution in school 24/7, so they feel, well, this is the way we can kind of hook them, if you will, and say, well, we're being reasonable here. We'll give a cent. Maybe God did take 8 billion years. But the danger in that is that today, with the modern transhuman movement, and when I say transhuman, what I'm talking about is the application of science to the condition of man, in particular to achieve characteristics of like immortality, omniscience, omnipresence, things that only God is typically, you know, attributed to. But transhumanism intends to produce a godlike race of post-humans, and they are openly claiming that science has advanced to a point where they have taken over the evolutionary process through science. And so they are busy designing humans 2.0, if you will, using a computer term. And so you see evolution, the concept of evolution started with random chance way back with Darwin. But now transhumanism is bringing this element of man-directed evolution, still the same train of thought, but now they will adjust your DNA, they will adjust your the chemistry in your brain, et cetera, to deliver you into kind of a brave new world, if you will, where man and machine will be merged together, where the human consciousness can be uploaded and downloaded into computers at will, and so on, crazy stuff like that. Science fiction stuff on the surface, but this is what they're saying. Now, I'm not going to suggest that they're actually going to be able to do it, Sharon. I don't go quite as far, for instance, as a Tom Horn would in, extrapolating that all the stuff the transhumans say they're going to do, that they're actually going to be able to do it. I think a lot of this is deception. I think a lot of it is smoke and mirrors. I think a lot of it is wishful thinking. And definitely all of it is against the Bible, because the Bible says it's appointed for man once to die, and then comes the judgment. And I got bad news for them. They're not going to escape.
Well, let me just throw in here, just for the record, so folks know whether they're going to be able to do anything like this or not, but this is the philosophy. In case, ladies and gentlemen, you happen to be new to the term transhumanism, it means something like, this is part of it, uploading your brain to a computer, and then eventually they're hoping that we would just discard our body, then achieving immortality by living forever through machines and robots. Well, here's the interesting part. Google's director of engineering, Ray Kurzweil, has been pushing this quote-unquote cult for many years, and just recently he promised that by 2045, humanity would achieve what he calls singularity, where our minds can be uploaded to computers, and therefore in less than a century, according to him, he says we could all discard our fragile human bodies and inhabit advanced robotic systems as our new immortal selves. And my understanding of this, I haven't done an in-depth study, but basically they believe that this transhumanism is the next evolutionary step. That's what they believe, right?
Well, it is, and they're being very vocal about this. This is not a wingnut movement, if you will. It's not like there's Frankenstein, where somebody's out in a mansion out in the forest or something, at all.
Yeah.
This whole transhumanism thing is being congealed by scientists and engineers all over the world and all the academic communities of the world. And you can't hardly go to any major university today and not find a department solely dedicated to the furtherance of this technology that's leading to transhumanism. And even the governments of the world are embedded in this, probably at the stimulation or the suggestion of the transhuman movement, to put money, throw money at this. So President Obama, for instance, in his inaugural speech, said that the next big major scientific project in America comparable to the mapping of the human genome is to map the human brain. And that means to, map the human brain, to figure out how it works and all the little details and stuff. Well, the human genome was a huge project. Now our government is throwing some hundreds of millions of dollars at this project. There's already a lot of money on it anyway. But, scientists around the world are working on this, and these are top-rate scientists. Ray Kurzweil, it may sound a little bit crazy on the surface of it, but the man is a genius. And he's got a list of patents that would just, it's longer than your arm and mine put together. He's a multi-multi-millionaire. He did not need the job at Google, by the way. Not at all. He could have probably bought and sold half of Google at will. He's a very wealthy man. But Google fits his prescription, if you will, to move this technology forward. And I think that that's why he joined Google, was just the challenge of it.
Yeah.
And by the way, what's odd is that you go on almost any church stage today, and usually some have piano, old-fashioned piano still, but you see a lot of electronic keyboards and stuff now on church stages for worship music and so on. Well, the name Kurzweil is on almost every keyboard you'll ever take a look at. Not everyone. There's Roland and there's a few others, but you'll see the name Kurzweil on the back of these 88 key keyboards. They're beautiful instruments. That's the Ray Kurzweil. He invented the keyboard when he was 16 years old as a science project for high school. And that's how he got his start. He was a genius from the start, and he's been a genius ever since. Unfortunately, he's deceived in a few areas, I do believe, and really off base. And, as nice a guy as he appears to be, what's really sad is that the main driving thing for him in transhumanism is to bring his father back to life. He talks about it frequently whenever he talks. And his desire to bring his father, deceased now, of course, but bring his father back to life, through, you know, his transhuman research. I said, well, gosh, you know, you've got bad news again for you, right? I don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, is his father frozen on ice or something? I mean, how does he think he's going to bring him back?
What he's got is all of his father's papers and his writings and, you know, notes and diaries and all that kind of stuff, memories and stuff like that. And he figures somehow he's going to be able to input all that data about his father, and some kind of artificial intelligence program is going to bring his father back to life that way. It's a little far-fetched, I agree.
Yeah. It's folly. This is like our generation's fountain of youth or something. I don't know. Man has always looked and tried to find a key to live forever apart from God, right? That obviously, I mean, are you saying part of the church is buying into this type of evolutionary theory?
Increasingly, yes. And that's not the only fork of attack, if you will, but we're seeing this on a leading edge sort of point of view right now, where religious organizations around the world are attaching themselves to the transhuman movement. And this is kind of surprising in a way to find out that the transhuman movement is extremely religious. And, you know, it doesn't sound religious on the surface of it, but they themselves are talking in terms of religion, I think probably because they want to be a godlike race of post-humans. But what we're finding at the meetings, at the conventions that they're holding now, it's just a big one in New York here not too long ago, and I think about 600 people attended that conference. But the strange thing was, there was all the different religions of the world were there as well as the leading scientists. There was Buddhist, there was Hindu, there was Mormon representation, interestingly enough.
Some denominational people
were there. And you have to ask the question, guys, why are you here? You know, it's like, what's your take out on this? And, of course, everyone may have a slightly different answer. I kind of have a pet theory. I haven't written about it, probably won't. But I've got a feeling that as a lot of these religions were originally crafted by satanic forces and satanic thinking, that a keyhole was left in those religions, if you will. That keyhole would be fit by a key that did not exist at the time that it was created, like Mormonism, for instance. If you had asked me 20 years ago, and I knew a lot about Mormonism 20 years ago, by the way, but if you'd asked me 20 years ago about Mormonism, I would have never associated with transhumanism 1,000 years. I just wouldn't have. That never occurred to me. But today, they actually are sponsoring these meetings themselves. In fact, there's an organization in Utah called the Mormon Transhuman Association, and they sponsored a big convention last year in Salt Lake City. Four different religious people to come together and talk about transhumanism. So, you know, it's kind of an odd thing to put your hand on initially, but when you look at each individual religion and say, well, okay, what are you here for? And what are you here for? Okay, how about you, Mr. Buddhist or whatever? What are you here for? You hear different stories, but they're all playing to the same key, which is to escape the laws of sin and death. That's what they all want to do in the end.
Okay, with those two interviews as just a sample of what we've talked about over the last 20 years that are relevant to what's going on today and probably our future, we are going to bring new content in all of our future episodes. So I hope that you will be sure to tune in for each one, because the topics that we'll cover will be crucial to your life, to the life of our nation, to the world in the day in which we live. Stay with me, because after this break, I'm going to wrap it up with some things that may be helpful to you financially this month, and wrap it up with one of my favorite songs.
You're listening to Changing Worldviews with Sharon Hughes. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Do you know who's in your child's bedroom right now? Over 400,000 hardcore pornographic websites are on the internet, and many use a delivery tool called spam to lure our children. These tempting invitations appear on your child's computer in the safety of your home, whether you want them or not.
Stop it!
Even schools and libraries are invaded by website peddling of hardcore pornography.
Stop it!
Aggressive enforcement of existing anti-obscenity laws will reduce children's access to hardcore, sexually explicit material on the internet. Report porn spam home invasions to obscenitycrimes.org. Distributing obscenity on the internet is a crime.
Stop it!
Degrading and obscene material harms children and is beneath our community standards. Protect our children and protect our homes.
Stop it!
Report porn spam to obscenitycrimes.org.
For the sake of our children, Let's stop it.
This is Elias from San Antonio, Texas. Testimonial on a Nature's Miracle ointment. I've been using that on small burns and cuts, and within hours, you can see the healing begin. And on my wife, she's bedridden. I've used it on rashes on her face and on her legs. And the same thing. I'll tell the nurses kind of as a joke. I'll say, this is going to start to heal within a few hours. And within 2 or 3 hours, they can already see the difference. So it's a great product. I recommend it.
The ingredients used in Nature's Miracle were originally for diabetic patients who have diabetic ulcers with great success. Apex Health has added a few more ingredients to make it even more effective for burns, as well as everyday cuts and scrapes and skin conditions. And also, for Changing Worldviews listeners, you can get a 25% discount. Go to Apex Health, apexhealth.life/Sharon. You can order with the special price of $29.95 or call 833-334-5433. Again, 833-334-5433.
You're listening to Changing Worldviews with your host, Sharon Hughes, getting to the heart of the issues and the worldviews behind them. If you want to know more, check out our website at changingworldviews.com. And while there, sign up for our free newsletter.
Thanks for staying with me. Okay, I mentioned I'd give some information that hopefully will be helpful for you financially. First of all, shopping at the grocery store. We all know that food has more than doubled. Well, in the month of May, not only because it's Memorial Day, but it's also barbecue month, hamburger month, salsa month, strawberry month, there's a good chance that you will be able to find things such as condiments on sale. We're talking about mayonnaise, ketchup, steak sauce or barbecue sauce, mustard, those kinds of things. And usually May is a good month to buy strawberries. You can make strawberry jam and also supplies for barbecues and so forth, such as paper plates, plastic utensils. So hopefully that will be of some use to you. I want to tell you what my book club choice is for this month. It's called No Reason to Hide. The questions that the author asks are, will you be complicit, complacent, or courageous? He's a best-selling author, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, and he takes on the issues challenging all of us today to help us stand for Christ in a collapsing culture. As you read, you'll be equipped to not only defend your beliefs, but identify how you can respond to battleground issues such as identity, social justice that divides, definitions that turn language into war, teachings that desecrate the Bible, and more. The book examines the toxic roots behind the alarming symptoms of a nation in free fall. It's time to engage, not hide. So says author Erwin Lutzer. So I hope that you'll read along with me and let me know what you think. I would love to hear from you. You can send an email to talk@changingworldviews.com and in the subject line, put book club. And then just one more thing before we close this edition. I want to just let you know that we are going to be covering every week three main areas or arenas that are affecting all of us, affecting our nation, our world, and that is government or the political arena, and the policies and politics at play, cultural, and of course that covers a lot of areas, and religious. And primarily we'll talk about some of the end time issues such as apostasy or revival and everything in between. So I hope you'll make it a point to tune in. And now, favorite song, and this one by the trio Selah. I love it. And we need to be reminded that no matter how crazy our world is, no matter how broken it is, we have a living God who is for us and who has promised us so many things that we need to remember and stand on.
Promises that cannot fail. When
howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessed thing, what a precious mind, leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm leaning, oh leaning, safe and secure from
I look forward to our next time together. Just tune in to the same place and also go to changingworldviews.com to see all the venues that we are now on. You can follow me on Facebook and Twitter and other social media platforms. And until I see you next time, stay informed and pray informed. This is Sharon Hughes saying it like it is.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Changing Worldviews. You can follow Sharon on social media or listen to her on many online platforms. Just go to our website, changingworldviews.com, for all the links. And until next time, stay informed, stay alert, because we are indeed living in a changing world.